So this week is Parshas B'Shalach, and usually the main theme of Parshas B'Shalach is the crossing of the Red Sea. And after the crossing of the Red Sea, the splitting of the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea, then the Shira, the song of Yoshe that the Bnei Israel sang. And then, of course, afterwards, when they turn away from the sea and they start to walk into the wilderness, and they come, go 3 days, and everything starts to fall apart. I wanted this week, this year, to talk a little bit about two other important and many things in this parsha. But one of them is the man, the manna that fell from heaven, and the other is the war with Amalek that really begins in this week's Sedra. So, for me, there's a beautiful Torah in the Ishbitz, in the Me'er Shiloyach, when it talks about the man that used to fall every morning, right? So, there was, you know, the idea was you would collect as much as you needed, and then you didn't take more than you needed. Whatever you left over would go bad, right? But how do we know? Moshe said, "Ishal yoyse memen al boyke." Nobody should leave anything over. Eat up what you have, and veloy shamuel Moshe. Says they didn't listen to Moshe. Vayoysiru anoshim mimenu ad boyke, and there were some men who left stuff over till morning. Vayorum toiloyim, and it got wormy. Vayivash, and it, you know, we started to decompose. Vayiktsev, and Moshe got angry. So Rashi says, Vayoysiru anoshim, and there were men who left over. Who were the men? It's Dosam Vaviram. Dosam Vaviram, we encounter them in the Parsha of Korach. They were among the Bnei Reuven who gathered together with Korach to make a rebellion against Moshe. So, they were the ones who left over the man. Interesting, right? The truth is, this is not the first time that we encounter Dosam Vaviram. We encountered the Dosam and Aviram in Parshas Shmos. The first day that Moshe grew up, he grew up. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayibayim, Vayigdal Moshe, he grew up. And he went out of the palace and he saw what was going on with his brothers. And he saw a Mitzri, he saw an Egyptian hitting a Hebrew. So he looks here and here, and he sees there's nobody around, and he kills the Mitzri and he buries him in the sand. Then it says, Vayetze Bayoim Hasheni. Interesting that it uses the phrase Yoim Hasheni. What does the Torah want to tell us? It's the second day Moshe grew up, right? So on the first day Moshe grew up, he killed an Egyptian. On the second day, he comes out and he sees, V'hine shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. There are two Hebrew men fighting. V'yoyme l'rosha, and he said to the wicked one, Lama saker reyecho, why are you hitting your brother? So they said to him, Misamchel ish save shoifetele, who made you boss? Halahargeni atoime, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? So Moshe said, Ochen noida dover, oh, whatever it is, I'm uncovered. You know, everybody's going to know now what I did. And he ran away and he ended up in Midian in Yisro's house, right? So who are the two men? V'hinei shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. There are two men who are fighting. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Reb Shimba Yechoy says, wherever you find nitzim, nitzovim, it's dosam va'avirom. It's this same dosam va'avirom. And of course, it becomes clear that these are born troublemakers. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, they never leave Moshe Rabbeinu alone. And in fact, you know, what kind of troublemaker is this? You know, Moshe saves a yid. Moshe saves a yid from an Egyptian by the only way that he could, by killing the Egyptian. Comes along these two yidden, Grosser Machers, right? Rebbes. And they say to Moshe, what, you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? You know, it's hard to believe that one Yid would say something like this to another Yid. Yesterday, so somehow they were spying, right? So they were spying on this, yeah, the Mitzri, whoever, on the Yid. We don't know who they were spying on, but somehow they were spying, right? So the Zeist, you see somebody with the statue of Moshe Rabbeinu who does this thing, you know. I mean, this is a major act of violence, and you see what it's about. You see, and instead of thinking to yourself, ah, that's a man, somebody who can, like, stick up for whatever, you know. And today he approaches you and he says, hey, why are you hitting your friend, right? So they come back at him with this, oh, you're going to kill us, huh? It's hard to believe, right? So there's something very Amalek-like about this exchange here with Dosam and Aviram and Moshe Rabbeinu. There's something very Amalek. You know, what is Amalek? Amalek, he's like the fly, you know. In some senses, Amalek is compared to a dog. You know, a dog, it's not the most dangerous animal in the world, right? It's not the wildest or the strongest beast of the wild beasts, but you know something? The dog is so dangerous because he wakes everybody up, right? So Amalek is compared to the dog, that Amalek, you know, he alerts, you know, Vina the Eden Gain, you know, he's there to, hey, the Eden are coming, hey guys, get yourselves together, you know, and he's the one who pretends, now he dresses up like this one and he pretends to be this one, and what for? Well, he's protecting the world from the Jews, right? So here he dresses like a Persian, here he dresses like a Venezuelan, right? And tomorrow he'll dress like a Turk. So in that sense, Amalek is compared to a dog, a caliph. But in the Kabbalah, also, Amalek is the Zavuv. Is the fly, you know, and the thing about the fly is that it only attacks not the place of the body where the body is whole, it attacks the place of the body where the body is broken and wounded, and then it comes and it lays its eggs there in the wound, you know, and the same way Amalek comes and he doesn't attack the main body of the Eden, no. He goes and he finds the stragglers. You're tired and worn out. And he attacks those. But how does he attack them, right? You know, Amalek, he always comes and he says, I'm holy. But how could Amalek pass himself off as holy when this doesn't have in himself one good thing? Nicht ein Gitzesach, right? And you know, it's astonishing. You look at the world and you see the most wicked people in the world who don't have one shred of compassion, and they don't have one shred of decency, and they don't have anything with which to buy themselves a place in Olam Habo, right? They don't. And they set themselves up as the judges over all the people who never struggle with moral issues, right? Like we see with this war in Gaza, you know, you see who's shouting at the Eden, who call Holocaust, and I mean the words that come out of their mouth. And how does it? Where does a person get such a azus from? Where does a person get such a chutzpah to be able to speak like that, right? It's astonishing, right? It's from Amalek, right? Because Amalek comes and he says, "My Zayde Yitzchak, my Bubba Rivka were very holy, and they passed on to me a moral code of how life should be lived." Right? That's it. So Anokia gav imoy, you know, he comes and he says, "Man heilige Mama." On the basis of his yichus, right? Not on the basis of anything that he represents himself, right? My pedigree. On the basis of what my kabbalah is. I tell you such and such. And I demand. And here you got a yidl nebuch, who everything he does, he asks himself five times, should I do this? Should I not do this? Maybe it's not so right. Maybe I have another way, right? So, what the koyach of Amalek is to find that spot in the Yid where the Yid Nebuch feels Zerbrochen. And how does a Yid feel Zerbrochen? It starts from the very beginning, right? God says to Adam HaRishon, Hamin ho'etz asher omarti, from that tree that I said to you, don't eat from it. Have you eaten? Why? God needs to ask a question. What kind of, God doesn't know. What's going on? But you see, this is the first question really in the Torah. It's really the first question in the Torah. And what that question does, because it's not asked in a nice way. It's a shout, it's a ga'ora, right? God shouts at Adam, did you eat from that tree that I do, right? And sechaptem apachat, you know, Adam HaRishon is terrified. Can you imagine God shouting at you? And that terror is like a poison, but it is a chemical that works its way down through the generations. And this is like the deep, deep guilt and shame and self-doubt and low self-esteem that we develop because we ask ourselves, what did I do? What have I done? Or am I doing the wrong thing? When we're doing the right thing, we ask ourselves, maybe this is the wrong thing. And this is, if I were to say this, you could say, but this is the deepest Ishvitz Torah. That from that shout, that God shouts at Adam HaRishon, Hamin ho'etz asher amarti bilti achoy mimenu, that Haman can later come and convince us that we don't have left one shred of zechus, that we don't possess one merit in which we should be saved. And the Gemara asks, Minayin remez lahaman min haTorah? Where is there a hint to haman in the Torah? And brings this posuk hamin ha'etz, right? From the tree. Don't read it as hamin. Read it as haman. So the Ishbitzu says that from God shouting at Adam, how did you? You ate? What? That we experience it. We are still trembling, resonating, shaking like leaves inside ourselves because of that shout. Oi, oi, what did I do? What am I doing? How will I do? The Gemara says, Mipnei mai nischaivu klia, why did they deserve that whole business with Haman? So it says, Mishnei shishtachvu letzelem, because they bowed down to idols. Yidden bowed down to idols? They thought they bowed down to idols. See, along comes Amalek and tells us, yeah, you're just a pagan. You're no different from that pagan there who worships, you know, and he sacrifices babies and adults and men and women to this god. He's, and within a few days, it's like somebody tells it me for 5 days, I already believe it. Oi, I'm the worst. Oi, gefährlich. And that's the koyach of Amalek. And where does Amalek get that koyach from? He gets it from the shout that God shouted at Adam Rishon. So minayin remez lahaman min haTorah? Where does Haman get his strength? Hamin ha'etz, from God saying hamin ha'etz. That's the Ishbitz Torah. So how do we fight Amalek? Well, the Torah tells us this week, Ksoiv zoi zikoroin basefer v'sim ba'ozne Yeshua. The first time the Torah tells us to write something down. In fact, the first time in the Torah we find writing. And it was Salome who pointed this out to me a few years ago, because I told her what I heard from Shlomo. I heard from Shlomo, wherever something appears in the Torah for the first time, that's the headquarters. And we know this in Kabbalah, the word toiv, the letter tes, appears in the word toiv, alekim sa'or ki toiv. So the letter tes is associated with toiv, and toiv is associated with light, because God sees light, that it's going, so on. So all goodness is associated with looks, with luxury, and so on. Where something appears first time in the Torah, that's the headquarters of this thing. Writing appears here. God says to Moshe, write this as a memory in a book and put it into Yehoshua's ears, that one day I am going to obliterate the name of Amalek. You know, when Esther sent to the Chachomim and she said to them, Purim is going to be Yontif, Kasvuni Ledoiris. So they said, huh. You know, the Torah tells us that we can't add. So they came to this posuk, so it says, sefer. You're allowed to write the Megillah and read it and make a brocha, and all these mitzvahs that we have on Purim is here in this posuk. You know, what happens with Dosam and Aviram, the Ishbitzu says, V'loy shomu el Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe. V'yosira anoshim imena ad boike, and there were men who left over till morning. V'yorum toiloim. So the Ishbitz in the Meir Shiloh says, you know, how did it come about? It came about because Dosam and Aviram said, just because the man fell for us today doesn't mean it's going to fall for us tomorrow. You know, I don't want to say why Dosam and Aviram were like that. We know that already back in Mitzrayim, Moshe calls them Rishoim, wicked. But they, the Ishvitzer says, they have this false modesty. Anova Psula, he calls it. Because they knew that God is not going to abandon the Jewish people, right? Everybody knows God's not going to abandon the Jewish people. So what were they worried about? If Moshe says it's the man is going to fall from now on, so what are you worried about, right? So they thought to themselves, yeah, it's going to fall for everybody else, but not for us. Not for you and me, Dosim Aviram. For you and me, we're not as good as everybody else. You see, the Ishbitzer makes a really important point. He says, you're allowed to think of yourself as no better than anybody else. You're allowed to think of yourself as the worst Jew, if you want, right? But you're not allowed to think of yourself as less than any other Jew. You're allowed to think of yourself as the worst person in the world, but only if you consider yourself one with everybody else in the world. You're not allowed to think of yourself as disconnected from Klal Yisrael. You're not allowed to think to yourself that your worseness is such that it makes you outside, that it puts you outside. You're allowed to think to yourself, I am one of. Yeah. If you think to yourself, I'm one of, you can say, well, I'm the lowliest Yid. I'm the lowliest. Yeah, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu thought of himself as the lowliest Yid. But to think of yourself as having done something so bad that it puts you beyond the pale, it has, you know, you are nidach, you are excluded from Klal Yisrael, that is not allowed. That is anova bo'usho. And so when Dosim v'Aviram, they put aside some man thinking to themselves, you know, it's true, the man's going to fall for everybody, but not for us, because we're wicked. That's wormy. So, in the morning, it's full of worms, because it's a metaphor for, you know, that kind of thinking. A person should not be thinking of himself as worse than. You're allowed to think of yourself as the worst of, but not worse than. And this is something that Amalek is very successful. You know, the Torah says, the Medrash says, Vayovoy Amalek, Amalek came, Vayelochem Yisroel Berefidim. So, Amalek came and he made war with the Yidden in Refidim. So the Gemara says, why Refidim? Already earlier it says, Vayachanu Berefidim. The Gemara says, what does it mean? Rofu Yudehem Midivrei Torah. You know that they were letting go, that their hands were weak from Divrei Torah. My question is, what is, it says, Kapitel Vayisu Kol Hadas Bnei Yisrael Midbasin, they traveled, they journeyed from Midbasin Lemasim to their journeys, Al Pi Hashem, at the mouth of God, Vayachnu Berifidim, and they camped in Refidim, Ve'imayim Lishtes, and there was no water. Vayachnu Berefidim, so Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, it was called Refidim, but Rabbi Yeshua says, but why? Shirofu Atzma Midevrei Torah. They weakened themselves from the Torah. So, what Torah? They didn't have Torah. It was, you know, before Matan Torah. They hadn't come to Midbar Sinai yet. So, I was thinking, there's something that Amalek is doing to us. now, us, you and me, you know. And it's Ma'akiv the Geula, it's holding back Mashiach from coming. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the Torah that I heard from El Chaim, that we say on Yontov, in the Mishberach, right? Not in the Mishberach, when you take out the Sefer Torah, Yirotzoin, Ribbono Shel Olam, and then it says, Yirotzoin Fnecho, Shetezakenu La'aseh Ma'asim Tovim Be'einecho, please be it your will that we do good deeds. And that's the beginning of Mashiach, and let there be fulfilled in us the verse that it says, and there rested upon him the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and so on, which is talking about Mashiach. So how would I ask God that in me should be fulfilled this verse? So Ali Chaim says, because you have a good deed. Everybody has a good deed, and that good deed is the beginning of Mashiach in each person, that each of us has that ability to save the world with something. And, you know, it's not necessarily what you think it is, right? Everybody in their lifetime, they have opportunity to do something, and we're asking God to please help us. When the moment comes to be ready and to be mechazik, to do my good deed. I want to say also, in addition, that everybody, even Dosam v'Aviram, have Torah. And it's not necessarily the Torah that is written in the Chamushi Torah or in the Gemara, but everybody has a Torah. You know, we go to shul and we listen, and the message is clear, you know. The message is always clear. Oh, you can't ask a question on why Moshe and Aaron did this, because that was their generation and we can't ask. And you know, you say, all right, so the Talmid of Hashem Tov, you know, you can't ask why they did these kinds of things, because they were Grosser Rebbes and Tzaddikim, and we can't compare ourselves. Like, who can we compare ourselves to? And if you ask around, you say, well, we can't. We're so low that we can't really compare ourselves. You know, and in doing so, what we're in a sense doing is we're denying that we have just as much genius as Moshe and Aaron, and as important as Moshe and Aaron were, you and I are just as important. But there's somehow that, you know, we don't get permission to say that we somehow that we're as important and as gewalt, that every yid in the world today is as gewalt as Moshe Rabbeinu. I saw a gewalt Torah, unbelievable Torah from Moshe Leib Sasseva, that he talks about Yaakov Avinu. You know, Yaakov had a Kabbalah that if any of his children die in his lifetime, then he has to go to Gehenna. And so when Yosef died, or he thought that Yosef had died, he says, Ki ered El Bini Ovel Sha'ola, I'm going down to hell. And Rashi there says, Kasimen Mosaloi, that he had this sign that if any of his children die in his lifetime, then he is going to see Gehenna. So Moshele Sasa says, like, unbelievable Torah. He says, you know, there are some tzaddikim who are tzaddikim with busha. You know, Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov is a Ishtam. Yoshev Oyholem, he sits in his tent. But then there are tzaddikim who are as a ponim. Then there are tzaddikim who are really got chutzpah, right? So, who was the chutzpah one? Yosef was the one who, you know, and the koyach of the tzaddik with chutzpah is that he can go into Gehenna and schlep everybody out. And there's a story with Rabbi Moshe Leib Sasseva that, you know, as he was passing through Gehenna on his way to Gan Eden, he stopped and he said, wait a minute, what are everybody doing here? Out, everybody out. And they said to him, excuse me, they're here for a reason. He said, well, I'm not going to Gan Eden if all these Yidden are here. What kind of Gan Eden is that for me if I'm there and they're all here? No, they're all coming with me. So the whole Beis Din Shel Maala had to come and Reb Moshe Leib Sasser says, well, look, you know, if God really wants me to go to Gan Eden, and I've just come from the Beis Din Shalmali, he said to me, go to Gan Eden. So obviously he means everybody, because what kind of Gan Eden do I have if not everybody is with me? That's not good for me. So obviously they're all coming with. So the Beis Din Shalmali makes this big judgment, and they say, all right, for every toive that the Moshe Leib Sasseva did during his lifetime, he can schlep out one yid. So they counted up all the toivas that Reb Moshe Leib Sasseva had done for yid in his lifetime. It equaled exactly as many people were in Gan Eden. He took them all with him. Reb Moshe Leib Sasseva says that was what Yaakov was saying, not that he's going to go to hell if one of his children dies. He says, I am the beginner of the Tzadik Bosh. I sit in my tent and doesn't... Yosef, he's the one who can go into Gehenna and clean the whole place out, right? So if he dies, then I'm going to have to do that. That's the meaning. And he brings the Mishnah and it says, Boishes ponim le Gan Eden, Azus ponim le Gehenna, because the Boishes ponim, the tzaddik who's Boish ponim, doesn't even get to see Gehenna, they send him straight to Gan Eden. The Azus ponim, the one who's bold, right? The tzaddik who's got Azus ponim, he goes to get him and he schleps everybody out of there. You know, we're afraid. We're so afraid to own our Torah. And we know that even in Rephidim, the Eden had Torah. But already in Rephidim, they're ready for Amalek, because already they don't believe in themselves. And you have people like Dosan Va'aviram, who are such groyser anovim, they're so modest that they think, "Ay, everybody is better than me, and I'm not even as good as the worst yid." And part of the message that the world gives us now, the Jewish world, the rabbinical world, is that somehow we're not as good as even the worst yid of a previous generation. And it's not true. It's nisht emes. And the emes is that if Adam HaRishon had not been confused by the shout that God said to him, Hamin Ha'etz, what would he have answered? He would have answered, Hey Rabban Shem, Yitzir Kapecha, you made me. You made me. Everything I've done, I'm 100% sure you wanted me to do. And we know that God wanted him to do what he did, right? Ki b'yoyim acholchem, and God already tells him, don't eat from it, because on the day that you're going to eat from it, you're going to die, right? So, I mean, already in advance, God knows what he's going to do, and knows that he's going to do it, and wants him to do it, and dira. But God wants us to go into this place of forgetting. God wants us to go into this place of forgetting the name Yudke Vovke. And so he allows the Nochosh to say Af Ki Om Elikim, right? Up until then, the Ishbitz says we had a Shem Elikim, B'yoyim Asayis Hashem Elikim. And then comes the Nochosh and he hides, he makes a Hester on the Shem Hashem, and he says Af Ki Om Elikim, and we don't find again the name Hashem, Yudke Vovke, until after the Tikkun. Why? Because if Adam HaRishon could have been there in his consciousness of God, Yudke Vovke, Hoya Hoiva Viya, then you're in relationship. Then the mistakes you make are also part of the relationship, because they're part of the deepening of intimacy. You make mistakes, and then, you know, the person that you're with realizes on another deeper level how vulnerable you are and how needy you are. And then that's the point of it being in a relationship. But God hides that, right? And then we go into this shock, horror. And by the time, the Ishbitz says, by the time we get to Avraham Avinu, we've forgotten completely that, you know, God really wants us to do what we are doing and to be who we are, right? By the time we get to Avraham Avinu, and this is why history, so to speak, begins with Avraham Avinu, because by Avraham Avinu's time already, it's completely forgotten that everything is done by Hashgacha Pratis, even the Avera. Hashem, Hashem, I am Hashem. Before the Avera, I'm Hashem. After the Avera, there's no Shinui. But, you know, the story, the history, we have to go through this angst of who am I, what have I done, until we come to the times of Haman Achashverosh, where we're really saying, oi, gewalt, we've ruined everything. And yeah, it's important, but on the other hand, God tells us this week, don't forget. Don't forget. K'soiv zois zikoron b'sefer. Write the Shekhinah, the zois, as a zikoron in a sefer, that it's not, it's, unless you can hang on with this bitochon in the Hashgacha Pradis of who you are the tzaddik yisoid olam, that you, everybody, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me, that if I could really hang on to the essential truth, that I'm the most important yid in the world, and that my light is shining from the beginning of history till the end of history, and that it shines brighter and brighter as time goes on, then I could face everything I have to face. The problem is, I don't feel that way. I feel, oi, I'm getting worse and worse. Oi, I'm more and more cut off. Oi, I'm further and further away from where I'm supposed to be. And that's the beginning of Amalek. And then I come to do things like Dosam va'aviram, who believe to themselves, you know, the Amos says, why weren't we there by Sinai in the morning, right? Shlomo used to say, well, how did it go? Well, people overslept. People didn't overslept. But every thought to themselves, the Torah is going to be given, you know, but they don't need me. They're not going to give it to me. I mean, like, why would they need me there? I'll wait until I get called, right? So everybody thinks the same thing. Nobody turns up, right? We have to get past that. We have to get past that. And they say that this is the third time in history that Birchas HaChama coincides with Seder nights, that the first time we had this was on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Birchas HaChama came out to be Seder night, and the second time was in the night of Esther, Seudas Achashverosh, which was Pesach by Nacht also, and that this year, this coming Pesach, is the third time in history where we have this inyan of the Birchas HaChama coinciding with Seder night. I've heard in Shul this week on Shabbos, and saying, oh, you know, so this is the Hizgalus, this is the revelation again of the Shekhinah, and halavai it should be. You know, my fear is that of the big Muslim Holocaust that's coming, you know, and that we do have the koyach to stop it, but in order to stop it, we have to say no to God. We have to say stop, like Yitzchak says, no. Not yimochu al kiddush Hashem. No, not one more yid. No, and he starts to argue with God, and eventually, you know, God is moided to Yitzchak, and we say, ah, Yitzchak, you're our father, and he says, I'm not your father. God is your father, and we lift up our eyes to heaven, and so forth. We learned. At the end of Sefer Yetzirah, we were learning this again. And I feel like this is mamish one of these moments where we Jews, we have to exert our pride and say, no, we're not the lowest generation that ever was. We're the highest generation that ever was. And there's no Yid in this whole globe, this earth. No Yid. It doesn't matter whether it's a Chassidish Yid sitting in Meishurim in a koilel, you know, who never looked outside his Dalit Amis, or whether, you know, it's the wife of the Prime Minister of Iceland, you know. Doesn't matter how far you can go from there to there. Doesn't matter where you go. It's a Yid is a Yid, and it burns as brightly as ever there burned any sparks in the history of the universe. And we need to say, Rabbi Hashem, no. We demand, you know, that this coming Seder night be the Geula Shelema, and that it not be passed over, because we're too modest, you know. We're too modest to go, oh, we're the worst in Nebuchadnezzar, and we deserve, no. We have to say, Rabbi Shalom, you know, we have, each of us, we have our Torah to give, we have our Masim Torah to give, and it's as gewalt as any Torah that was ever given. Every person has this spark of something wonderful inside them, and it's enough. It's enough.